This week on the Time Bat Show.
If I sit on, like, I have a computer tower over here, and it's just chilling, and I could totally sit on it if I wanted to. If I sit on that, is that a seat?
It is your seat. It's,
it is not a seat, but it is my seat.
Yes.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 137, I think. My name is Time Basis, I'm one of your hosts.
Hi, I'm Bat Snacks, I'm the other guy here.
The other guy. And we've got a good show today, I think. Don't you agree?
Yes.
The first thing that we should get into immediately, because this is hot off the press, is there is a new beverage sweeping the nation.
Yes.
And I don't like it at all.
What's the beverage called?
And the beverage is called White Claw. And we need to talk about this thing. Because I've seen it like 100 times in the past week. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's very new, too.
Is it out of control where you live, too?
It's totally out of control. We had a function at work, and there was like prizes for people who like sat at the right table or whatever. Uh-huh. In the prize bucket was like 4 White Claws and like a Toblerone.
So first of all, before we get into it, we should explain to our listeners what exactly White Claw is. Now, okay. I've never had White Claw, but I know what it is, kind of. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's flavored seltzer water that is alcoholic.
Alcohol, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that sounds so bad to me. But, I mean, maybe it's good. I don't know. But people are drinking this stuff like it's, I don't know, the end of the world. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I've never seen an alcoholic beverage become this popular. Like, not like a mixed drink, but something you buy in a can. Mm-hmm. The last alcoholic beverage I saw that was this popular was Zima in the 90s.
I don't even know what that is.
It was Zima. This weird fruit drink that you were... And it fell off real fast because it was real bad.
Do you think White Claw has more staying power? Because White Claw... apparently, it's been around for a few months now. Like, it's been around for a hot minute, you know? It's reached critical mass recently, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at work, people are talking about it. Like, that's when you know. When, like, there's random conversations at work about White Claw. You know, that's when you know something is happening with society. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the first time I heard about it was a few people in my family drink it. And I was like, okay, that's just, they're weird. They drink that, whatever. I drink weird stuff too sometimes.
Sure.
But then, yeah, you're right. I started hearing about it at work and it's like, uh-oh.
and then there's a work function that had it as a gift thing.
In the bucket.
Like, what's going on? Like, we had like a happy hour or something at work at some point. And like, yeah, there's like beer in the thing, in the cooler, and there's White Claw. And I was like, oh no. This is where we are now. And I don't think I've had it still, but I'm afraid. I'm really afraid because, you know, alcohol is one of those things where you drink it, and if it's bad, you, like, pretend it's good because everyone else is liking it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with bad beer or, like, Smirnoff Ice or something, you know, you drink it, and everyone's like, isn't it good? And you're like, yeah, you know.
It's good.
I feel like I'm going to be that way with White Claw, but maybe not.
Maybe the not. Tricky thing, too, with alcohol is even if you're drinking something that's completely garbage, like, the third of those is going to taste good no matter what. Like, even if it's garbage.
So how much alcohol does White Claw actually have in it?
I think it's similar to, like, a strong beer.
It's as strong as beer?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that taste very alcoholic, though?
Considering it has no flavor, I think it would, yeah.
Because I imagine... have you had LaCroix before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I imagine... LaCroix. And I've never had it before. I've had LaCroix, I've never had White Claw. I imagine White Claw tastes like an alcoholic LaCroix, you know what I mean? But I don't know what an alcoholic LaCroix would taste like.
Have you ever mixed vodka with LaCroix or like soda water?
No. Have you? Oh, I've mixed vodka and soda water. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't taste good, but it's like if you're trying to be really efficient, that's probably the best thing to drink in a way.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
You can just do vodka soda water then. It's not, you know, there you go. Or whiskey soda water, you know. You don't need White Claw to, like, it's not a new invention, you know. But people are drinking it like it is. It's weird.
This is exactly where I wanted to go with this. I have a whole rant about exactly what you just said. So I know people who drink vodka and LaCroix, and it's good. They mix Tito's with it.
Sure.
I think that's a great drink.
Tito's, yeah.
White Claw is like industrial seltzer mixed with grain alcohol. Because like, they're not going to put Tito's in White Claw.
No way. Like, no way, Jose. They're putting the lowest tier of alcohol they could possibly find.
Like, if you want to do, like, a make-your-own White Claw at home, you would have to go get, like, soda water at Taco Bell out of their, like, club soda dispenser.
Yeah.
Then you would have to get, like, bottom shelf, like...
$3,
like, Commander Popov vodka or something.
And then you mix it up, and it would taste real bad.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much White Claw is, so... I mean, it can't be that expensive because people are drinking it, right? You know what I mean?
I was at the store today, and when I was shopping for groceries, I checked the price because I knew we were going to talk about this today. It's $17 for a 12-pack.
That's a lot.
That's more than beer. Any beer, yeah.
That's more than any beer. And it doesn't have as much alcohol as beer. Okay, so I just looked it up, it has 5% alcohol, which is
about... more than a lot of beer.
I mean, it's very close to beer.
Yeah.
Most beer is like 4 to 6. So it's right in the beer range. But beer is like, I don't know, $10 for a 12-pack. If you get cheap beer, it's like $6. You know, like it's a lot cheaper than $18 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Now, was that 12-pack the little cans? Like how big are those things, you know? So like,
I think they were regular cans. 12-ounce? Yeah.
12-ounce?
That was the variety pack, where you get a mix of... I guess there's different flavors.
You know what we should have done for the show? We should have bought...
Oh, no.
We really should. See, this is why we don't have a successful podcast, because we need to plan this out. And what we should be having is a 12-pack of White Claw at our desks. And just through the episode, just start drinking the different ones and rating each and every one of them.
You know? That's such a good idea.
Next week, right? That'll happen.
Maybe.
We should do it. This sounds like a live episode of the Time Bat Show, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, can we not do it when we're by ourselves?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Just drinking we'll do White Claw on a
Next
Thursday.
Time we're on vacation together, which I'm sure will happen at some point, we will, because we always record an episode, you know, when we're on vacation. If you're a new listener or whatever, this is a tradition we have of the Time Bat Show, is we usually go on vacation together once a year, I would say, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And we always record an episode on vacation. Or not vacation, but maybe I'm in the same town as you or whatever. We're visiting each other in some capacity. So next time we visit each other, we're going to do the White Claw Challenge. If White Claw is still a thing by then. Because it might not be. You know?
You know, if it's not, that would be even funnier. It would be like reviewing Zima now. You know what
like
I mean?
Come November or whenever we're hanging out, it would be like, we'll do the White Claw Challenge, and like no stores sell it anymore. Like everyone's forgotten about it. We have to go to like some 7-Eleven like in like the middle of nowhere that they still have like an old pack of White Claw from like 4 months ago. And we bring it up to the counter. The guy's like, you want this, huh? And you're like, yeah, I'm doing the challenge. The White Claw Challenge. You know, but no, it'd be fun because that way we don't have to drink a whole 12 pack by ourselves. I'm sure they have like 2 per flavor in the 12 in the variety pack, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we'll still have to drink 6, but that's still a lot of White Claw.
I mean, I don't know how good it is. Maybe it's really good. Maybe we're discounting how good White Claw is.
I don't think it is.
I mean, we don't know that though.
Like, I think I do know that though. Think about what it is. Like, really. It's seltzer water, and it's got to be grain alcohol. There's no reason to use good vodka in that.
No, it's got to be grain. Yeah, they're not using high quality stuff in there. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. What? It's like I was trying to think of a food to compare it to, and I think a good one would be Soylent.
It's the Soylent of alcohol.
Because, like, you want to drink something, and you want it to, like, have the effect of alcohol, but you don't want it to taste good.
Like, or you want it to taste, like, okay, like, a very low-level good. Like, it's just like, eh, it's good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what White Claw's. But there are, like, memes about it. Like, the society is kind of on fire on White Claw. There's, like, a cult. It's not a cult, but, like, there's people that love it. You know, like, there are people out there that are drinking this all the time.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going to become one of them. No, I don't know. Maybe I will. I haven't tried it yet. I'm, like, making fun of it, but next week I'm going to have tried one, and I'm going to be like, Bastex, you don't know what you're missing with the White Claw. It's the best beverage in the world. You have to drink it right now. But
I don't think you will, though. Maybe. See, you like drinks that taste like things. I know they don't taste good.
Wouldn't that be funny, though?
It really would.
I imagine it like LaCroix, though. Like, LaCroix is, like, flavored seltzer that's like, eh, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I'm like, eh. And then I imagine pouring vodka in that, and then I'm like, that doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't sound great. So, like, with White Claw, it's probably even worse alcohol, so it's like, it's probably bad. But it could be good, I don't know, maybe. It reminds me of, like, Mike's Hard Lemonade, in a way, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, they're like some other thing that doesn't really work with alcohol. I mean, lemonade does, but, you know, something that isn't traditionally alcoholic, and we're just making it alcoholic, you know, for a special purpose. You know,
I remember I wasn't old enough to drink when Mike's Hard Lemonade came out, and you used to see the commercials on TV, and I always, because I was a kid at the time, I was like, when I get older, I'm going to... That's what I'm going to drink. That sounds so good.
And how did that work out for you?
Oh, that stuff is awful. It's the same thing. It's lemonade and grain alcohol and, like, a ton of sugar.
I think I had it once in college, and I was like, nope, I can't do this. It's bad. Because it's, like, a shit ton of sugar. It's, like, a lot of sugar. And the reason they have so much sugar in it is because they have to disguise the bad alcohol taste with sugar. You know, you're just trying to get drunk as fast as possible. But anyway, if you have a White Claw story, listeners, we'd love to hear it at TimeBatsHow on Twitter or email us at contact@timebatshow.com because it is sweeping the nation, and I'm concerned for our nation, to be honest with you, because of White Claw. Just that. Just because of that. You know what I mean?
It's tough. Yeah, I do.
It's tough out there. But people will drink anything. So what else is going on? Is anything happening this week? I feel like this is a pretty... low-key week for things. I don't know. I didn't really do anything this week.
I just got back from vacation.
You did? You were there last week when we recorded the episode.
Yeah, I recorded it in a cabin.
In a cabin, yeah. How did that go?
It was really good. I always feel amazing whenever I go up to, like, Carolinas-ish eastern mountain area.
Uh-huh. Did you go with your family?
Yeah, I went with my family. We stayed in a cabin. We swam in a lake, and I went on a trail. And
that sounds so cool.
That was my week.
It sounds fun. I wish I could be doing that right now because I'm not. I'm doing the opposite of that, which is sitting in an office and at home. But you know, these things happen. So you're there for 5 days, 7 days.
Yeah, I went for the week,
and you're back on the grid now.
Yep,
back to the grind.
Feels bad.
Whenever I go on vacation, I never want to come back. But then I don't know if you get this, and maybe this vacation was relaxing enough that you don't have to do this. But whenever I go on vacation, after I come back, I need a vacation from my vacation. Yeah. Like, to just not do anything and, like, decompress.
Yeah.
Unless it's a relaxing vacation, and then I don't. So, I don't know.
No, I definitely need that, you know.
Yeah.
I took all my favorite clothes, because I don't own a lot of clothes. I took all my favorite clothes on the vacation, and I wore them all. And when I got back, I didn't feel like I didn't feel like doing laundry because I was just on vacation.
I'm still on vacation mode. I'm not laundry right now. No laundry.
So like this week for work, I've been pulling out stuff from my closet that's like 4 years old. It doesn't fit me.
This is
like,
a perfect topic. This is a great segue. Let's talk about favorite clothes and what you do when you run out of them, because this is something that happens to me all the time. Like I have like, I don't know how many I have, maybe a week's worth of favorite clothes, quote unquote.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I have a lot of other clothes that I like hardly ever wear. But when I run out of the favorites, you got to start digging, right? And there's like a tier system for me where it's like, all right, wear the favorite clothes first. And then you go down to tier one of like, okay, clothes. And then tier two, and then tier three, and then tier four, where it's like, I never wear these, but like, I gotta because I haven't done laundry in forever.
Yeah.
Do you have a similar thing or is it just a me thing?
For me, I used to have that many tiers, but after my last move, I threw out like most of my tiers.
Yeah, I have a lot of tiers. I have way too many clothes tiers. Do you ever find yourself saving your favorite clothes for like a Friday or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do that sometimes. Like I have like shorts, right? And some of them fit are a little baggy, and some of them are a little tight. And there's one that's like just right, and I'm like.
So stupid. It's not. This is
real. And then
I
have like a shirt that's like the same. It's like, oh, this is my favorite shirt. And so like I find, and like my favorite pair of underwear or something. And I find myself thinking like I pull it out. Because normally I just like grab the first thing that's on my, you know, in my camper or in my drawer and wear it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I find myself pulling out my favorite thing and I'm like, oh, wait, it's Wednesday. I'm going to save that for Friday.
So with your favorite stuff, let's say you have like... You know, you have a favorite sock, a favorite shirt, a favorite pants.
Sure.
Do you put all those into, like, one Optimus Prime, like,
optimal outfit?
Or do you wear, like, the favorite short with a slightly less good shirt so that you can kind of have a decent outfit?
Like a decent outfit, yeah. I do both. It depends on my mood, I guess. Like, sometimes I'm like... Oh, I don't have, like, maybe I'll be out of my favorite shirt. It's like gone, you know, it's in the laundry, but I'll still have my favorite pants left. And I'm like, well, you know, I could wait for the next laundry cycle to favorite pants, or I could just do it now and wear a slightly worse shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, but here's the thing, like, you're going to have to wait a whole laundry cycle to be able to wear your favorite pants.
That's hard. That's tough. It's really tough. And then the other thing that started happening to me, because in Texas, it's really hot. So, like, I've got, like, two outfits, right, of types, right? You got jeans and a shirt, and you got shorts and a shirt. Florida, I guess, is probably shorts all the time. But, like, jeans and a shirt is when it's cold, and then you can wear a hoodie. And then shorts and a shirt is when it's hot. I only have so many shorts, right? Jeans you can wear multiple times, right? You can wear a pair of jeans 2 to 3 times before you wash them. Shorts... You can only wear once. Well, maybe that's arguable, but I only like to wear them once because I feel gross if I wear them any more than that, especially in the heat. So there's only so many shorts I have. So the problem I run into is I have about 3 pairs of favorite shorts. And the other shorts I have are like mediocre, and then the rest are like terrible. Like I've had them for years and years, and they're like elastic or something, or they're like they don't fit at all, or they're missing a button or some terrible thing, right? And so, like, I find myself trying to plan my week around when my shorts are available to use, right? So I'm like, well, it's Thursday. I'll wear these shorts that I like pretty good. And then on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, I'll still have the good shorts to wear. Because what I don't want to happen is when I have a day off or a day I'm doing things, I don't want to be wearing my least favorite shorts. Because that just ruins my day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be walking around. I don't want to be walking around in my 10-year-old shorts that the elastic is broken on and they're falling down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got them in high school. They were a gift.
Yes, like, exactly. I still own them for some reason because that's the way it is, you know? So this is my neurosis, I guess, with clothes.
Yeah. But, so that's what's been happening with me this week. It was, you know, because it was vacation, I wanted every one of my favorite clothes going with me so I could feel
maximally
awesome
happy. Yeah.
On
so
vacation.
You did that.
Now that I'm back, I've been wearing the pants I wore today have like tar on them. I wore a shirt that has horizontal stripes. It's like, it doesn't go with the pants at all.
But, you know, it's clothes.
I wore an old pair of Vans.
Your shoes aren't even available? Are they dirty or something?
Yeah, I got my favorite shoes really dirty hiking.
Oh, that sucks. So, these clothes you wore today, how long has it been since you've worn them? Just ballpark it. You know what I mean?
2-3 years.
Wow, you really scraped down the bottom of the barrel there, huh?
Yeah.
So these just hiding on the bottom of your hamper somewhere and you had to like dig them out or something?
They're in the very far corner of my closet, hung up. They smell weird because they've been in 3 different houses.
And haven't been worn, like, at all. Yeah. They've just been moved around. And you're like, well, maybe I'll wear these one day. And you, like, never do. The closet, if something sits there too long, it develops, like, a weird smell. Mm-hmm. Like, not like a gross smell, like a closet smell. It smells like wood and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what is this? You know. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about me and favorite clothes. But I definitely have them. I don't, like, plan my wardrobe around them, but I definitely hesitate to wear, like, if it's a Wednesday or a Tuesday or, like, a Monday, I'm not wearing my favorite shorts that day. You know what I mean? That's going to be a bad day anyway. So I'm going to wear, like, a medium.
Because it's a Monday.
It's a Monday. So I'll just wear, like, a tier one or a tier two. You know what I mean? And then I'll save my good stuff for the weekend. You know? When I'm feeling good. When I'm feeling extra good.
That's so funny.
It's so stupid. But it's true.
It's early in the week, so I'm not going to even bother treating myself good. Like,
yes, exactly.
Terrible anyway.
My whole life is waiting for something good to happen, and then wearing good clothes when I think it's going to happen, and then it's not, and then it doesn't happen. That's the whole thing. Yeah. There you go. But I have this other problem with, I'm sorry I'm talking about clothes so much.
It's okay.
It's something I don't get to talk about very often, because I don't really think about it unless I'm in that moment of putting clothes on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I have is, so I have like shorts, and like you probably have like cargo shorts, right? Every dude has cargo shorts in the world.
I don't have cargo shorts. Okay. I have shorts with one cargo pocket. Okay. Sorta.
So I have 2 different kinds of shorts. I've got cargo shorts, you know, the big long baggy ones that a lot of men wear, and they have like a million pockets on them. And then I have like traditional shorts. And here's the thing about traditional shorts that they don't really tell you when you're buying the traditional shorts. Traditional shorts are very short. Like, very short. Like, uncomfortably short. So, like, last year, over the summer, I bought, like, 4 pairs of shorts. And I was like, I don't want any more cargo shorts. Like, I'm a 30-year-old man. I'm not wearing cargo shorts, because we had this whole conversation about me becoming a person that barbecued and wear cargo shorts. You remember that? Like, on the podcast?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go the other way. So I'm like, I'm going to get fashionable shorts, not cargo shorts, and nice shirts. And then I'm going to be ready for the summer. So I buy like 4 or 5 pairs of shorts. And in the store, like, they fit fine. They look good, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, I wear them on the weekend first because, you know, kind of break them in or whatever. And then I get to the weekday and I put them on and I go into work and I realize they're really short. Like, they're way too short to, like, for me to be comfortable with them on. You know what I mean? But it's too late. I'm already there. I don't know what to do. And I feel like everyone is judging the length of my shorts. So, like, during lunch, I, like, drive home to my house and put on a pair of jeans instead. But it's, like, 105 out, like, that day. Like, it's really hot. And so then the rest of the day, someone comments, is like, Chris, why are you wearing jeans? Like, it's 105 out. And I'm like, well, I was out of shorts today or something like that. This is, like, a year ago. But the point of the story is I still have these shorts. And I need to wear them. But I can't wear them during the weekday because they're too short. You know what I mean? So
how short? Like, how far above the knee?
So there are 3 different... I didn't know this about shorts until I bought them. There are 3 different inseam lengths, and that's what they call them. And they're written on the inside of the short. I've got 12.5, which is long enough. I've got 11. I've got 9. And I've got 7.
Oh, now, man.
Yeah, oh, man is right. So 12.5... no problem. Wear that at work all day. 11 is like, it's a little short, but it's not anything weird. Like other people, other dudes are probably wearing these shorts, similar size at work, so it's fine. 9, you're kind of pushing it. You know, it's like, it's getting to the point where you probably shouldn't be wearing 9s. Like, it kind of looks like you're going to go to the pool or something like that. But no one's going to, like, maybe someone will glance at you and be like, hey, shorts are a little short. But no one's going to, like, call you out on it. 7s are, like, you don't want to be in that territory. Like, that is not a good place to be. And that was the short that I wore that one day.
Oh, no.
And then I've been self-conscious of the length of my shorts ever since. And they're all different sizes, right? So when I pull one out on, like, a Monday, and I'm like, can I wear these? And I'm like, I forget what length the inseam is. So I look at it. And if it's above 9... If it's 11 or higher, I'm like, all right, we're good. And if it's 11 or lower, I'm like, saving these for the weekend.
You know what I mean?
Because, you know, on the weekend, who cares? I'm going to wear 7. I'm going to wear 7 inseams. They don't care. You know, what are they going to do? You know, what is the brunch guy going to do? He's going to be like, nice shorts.
Well, you can kind of get away with that because people see it. They'll be like, oh, that's European. That's the word they use, right?
He's European. He's hanging out. He's having a good time. He's chillaxing. You know, in the sun, wearing, you know, you just need to compliment it with some, like, nice sunglasses, you know, maybe put your hair in a bun, you know what I mean? Like,
and a floral print shirt.
Yeah, floral print shirt, which I don't own any of, but yeah, I could get that, and I could have the whole ensemble, you know what I mean?
That would be good. You should try that. I bet you would look really good in, like, the, what is it, the, not leaving Las Vegas, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas kind of getup.
Yeah, so like,
you know, full safari hat, floral shirt.
You think 7 I can pull that shorts? Off? 7-inch shorts? Because he does have short shorts in the movie, doesn't he? I didn't realize.
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The long cigarette thing.
Yes, you don't smoke, but you need to have that.
I need that.
Anyway.
That's part of the outfit. You think I could pull that off?
I bet you could.
Fear and Loathing look. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. I haven't been good at fashion my whole life because I don't know what looks good and what looks bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you're better at it than me, but yeah,
I'm pretty good at it, but I just don't. I don't know. I have weird ethics that prevent me from spending money on myself like that.
Right, but like you can make do with what you have to be like, oh, I can make something look good. I can't even get past the stage of like, if I had unlimited money, I still don't know what the hell I would. You know, I still have no idea what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think I have an eye for it. I look at people and I'm like, that guy has a cool getup. I wish I could do that. And then I'll like go out and try to buy something like that. And I'll put it on and be like, I look like an idiot. Like this isn't working at all. Yeah. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe that's what I need.
Yeah, you know? It's funny. Like, I don't really think about how I used to care about this a lot when I was younger. But now that I'm older, like we were talking about our favorite clothes. All my favorite clothes I bought at like Walgreens or... Like clothes you're not even supposed to buy where you got them.
Yeah.
Like my favorite shirt. My favorite shirt in the whole world. Uh-huh. 2 for $5 at Walgreens.
See?
It says, like, welcome to Florida, and then it says USA.
I love shirts like that, though.
It's like, so comfortable, though.
But see, that's, you know, those are all your favorite shirts. Those are all my favorite shirts, too. Like, some stupid shit.
Yeah,
you know, written on it, but it's really comfortable.
It's so stupid, but it's so comfortable. And you know what? It makes me feel good wearing it because I didn't have to spend a ton of money and be vain.
And it's comfortable, and it's kind of funny that it has Florida on it, you know?
Yeah, it's like cool. Ironic because...
Yeah, it's kind of hipstery in like its own way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I'm glad that you have that. Should we do our first trivia?
Yes, we should. We're overdue.
We are.
All right, your first... category is music. What lifeline will you choose?
What a stupid thing to say. I love music. It's such a stupid comment. I'm going to choose... I'm confident in my music knowledge. I'm going to choose 50-50.
Okay.
Probably picked a genre that I have no idea about, though.
No, for once I picked one you know a lot about.
Really? Okay, let's do it.
Question is, in 1969, photographer Ian McMillan... took this photo at a zebra crossing in London, which was used for what album cover? Is it Umma Gumma by Pink Floyd? Mm-hmm. Is it Nashville Skyline by Bob Dylan? Mm-hmm. Is it Abbey Road by the Beatles? Or is it Led Zeppelin 2 by Led Zeppelin?
It's Abbey Road by the Beatles. Final answer.
Okay, you're correct.
Yes, I knew that before you even read them. But that was a good question anyway.
Fun fact, that was today in history.
Really?
That was today.
Oh, wow. Did you know that Paul has no shoes on in that album photo?
No.
And there is a theory. You've probably heard this growing up, right?
No, I haven't.
There's a theory. You might have. So, Abbey Road, all the Beatles are there. Paul's there walking along the road. He has no shoes on. Everyone else has shoes on. Fans in 1969 thought that that meant that he had died and was replaced by an imposter, Paul McCartney. This is a real conspiracy theory that people
believe. I have heard that, actually.
Isn't that weird? I don't know how it, like, started, but the instigator was the Abbey Road album cover. And I don't really understand why people think that, but yeah. You can go on YouTube and, like, just type Paul is dead, and you'll find a lot of material for people that have, you know, they've decided to prove this, basically. So
yeah. So now that I'm thinking about this, people saw that he didn't have shoes on, mm-hmm. and they were like, wait, I know dead? Paul McCartney's feet. If I know anything, I know Paul McCartney's feet. They're my favorite feet.
His big toe does not look like that. He must be dead. That must be a replacement Paul. Maybe.
Is that that's what it
I don't
was
know.
That it?
I don't like, know how people determined it. I think another thing was if you played it backwards, it would say like, oh, there's a phrase that if you played it backwards, it had like a specific phrase that it said. It wasn't Paul is dead. It was like something, something death man or something like that. Like it said something to do with death, you know, yeah. if you played it backwards. And then people were like, death, what does that mean? And then they looked at the album cover and they saw Paul without shoes and they're like, it must mean Paul. You know what I mean? Something like that. I don't know.
Okay, that just, makes more sense than people were just like, hang on, you can't fool me, those aren't his feet.
Yeah, I think it's that, if you play it backwards. I mean, this is before the internet, so rumors could spread out of control without any form of validation, you know what I mean? So it probably just reached critical mass before anyone could debunk it, and then it was like, once a conspiracy theory gets that popular, like, it's impossible to disprove, right? Because people are going out of their way to prove it, you know? So.
You know, also, there's no internet. There's less to do. A conspiracy theory like that is a lot of fun to think about.
It is.
You know, if you have nothing else going on your
phone.
Play
all your Beatles records backwards and look at their album covers and be like, what are they doing? You know, have like a whole day where you do that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, thinking about the 1970s, what did people do all day? Like,
they smoked weed and listened to music. That's all they did. Doesn't that sound great? I wish I was there. It sounds so much better than this hellscape that we're in now.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do that today, but no one wants to do that anymore. Have you noticed that? Like, I don't know. I'm going
to
go.
It's less fun to do it today.
I'm going on a rant again. I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's not less fun. People just think it is. Like, you can't post on Facebook about it. You can't post on Twitter about it. It's like, spent my Friday night really high listening to Dark Side of the Moon again. Like, you can't do that, you know? I want to do that, but you can't, you know? Like, I don't know. And you do it. People still do it. Like, in college, you do that. You know, sometime when you're younger, you do it a little bit. But, you know, we've moved on from that to being like, I'm on my phone, I'm on the internet, I'm on Twitter, I'm on blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm on social media. So it's not as cool.
Yeah, and that does make it less fun. I mean, if everyone is getting high and listening to music, then it's cool to do that. It's cool to talk to your friends about doing that, mm-hmm. and people will do it more. But if it's, like, I can't just get high and listen to albums from the 60s and
alone.
Be like, whoa, I had this alone. Experience, yeah. like, tell people I'm friends with. Like, if I texted you, and you would probably think it was cool, actually.
I would be so into it. If you were like, I'm listening to blah, 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 and I'm
Electric
really high,
Ladyland.
I'd be like, that's awesome. Let me put it on, too. Hold on. What part are you at so I can sync up with you?
Yeah.
We should do that. Oh, that sounds so fun. No one considers that fun anymore, but I think that's fun. I have like a record player. Oh man, I'm gonna go on another rant. I'm so sorry. So I bought this record player. You've seen it. It's cool. And I have all these records. And whenever people come over my house, I'm like secretly hoping and praying that someone goes, oh man, cool record player. Can I look at your records? And I'm like, yeah, look at all of them. And then they're like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. And then I'm like, yeah, play it if you want. And then we talk about records. And then, you know, they offer me a joint or something. And then we listen to it or something. But that never happens. No one, like, people will comment on it, like, as, like, a side, right? It's like, oh, that's a cool record player. And then that's it, right? But it's never, you know, it's never more than that. I have to, like, force people to listen to my record player, basically, you know. And that bothers me. That harshes my buzz, man. It really bothers me.
You got to have more people like me over. I'd be all over your record player.
I know.
I was last time I was there. I was like, can we listen to some music?
But that's what I, like, you always have these, like, weird fantasies when you buy products. I mean, you get this, too. We've talked about this on the show before.
Absolutely.
Like this thing you've been eyeing for a while. You're like, if I get that, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this all the time. Like, a grill is a great example. Like, if I buy a barbecue grill, I'm going to have barbecues all the time. My house will be, like, the social hub. Everyone will come over and have barbecue. Like, not that I want to do that, but that's the fantasy of the grill, right?
Yeah.
And then the fantasy of the record player is, I'm going to buy this record player. I'm going to collect all these records. Everyone's going to want to see my records. We're going to, like, chill out in my house, listen to old records and shit. And it's going to be great. You know what I mean? It never happens. But that's the fantasy. You know, fantasy of the ping pong table. Same kind of deal, right? Like,
and then it just sits there.
You can have people over playing ping pong all the time, but yeah, it just sits there. But I don't know. I enjoy it, but I don't know if anybody else does. You enjoyed it when we came up.
Yeah, what can you do that with anymore? What's the item you do that with in 2019? Is there a thing that you can, if you build it, people will come?
I don't know. That's a great question. It's not a record player. It's not a ping pong table. It's White Claw. You just get a lot of White Claw.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. In the 70s, it was... In the 80s, it was like a wet bar, right? It's like if you got a bar in your house, you know what I mean? People would just come over and be like, oh, make me a drink. You know what I mean? That was cool. In the 90s, it was...
Video games.
Video games, yeah. It was video games. If you had a system, you could, you know, people would come over. In the 2000s, maybe it was video games. I feel like in the 2000s, it was a big TV, right? It was like a plasma screen, like whatever. It's like, I got the biggest TV in the world. And then people are like, let's watch the game on your TV. Now what is it? What's the thing that people want to come? In the 70s was like a record player or music in general. And then, but what's now? What's the today thing?
I don't think... Is there anything? I don't know. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. White Claw. I think that's actually it. Like,
legit. So depressing.
I saw on the news, and I think you saw this news story too, and we've talked about it before, but there was a man who spent $40,000 on a gamer truck.
I saw that. Where you could play video games with your friends in a truck, right?
Yeah. That was the idea. And I just feel so sorry for that dude that he had to spend 40 grand to play games with his friends. Like,
I know. It's like you laugh at him at first, but then you're like, oh, that's like that really hits home sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you're like, if I need to get people together and the only way they'll come and hang out and play video games with me is to buy a $40,000 trailer. Something is wrong with my life and the rest of the world. You know what I mean? Something is wrong.
If anything, it sounds like everything's right with his life. He has enough money to spend on $40,000 gaming trailer.
It's just sad that you have to do that these days. Yeah. You have to. We've talked about this on the show. You have to make excuses to like do things with people now. And I've realized as I've aged, because I've had a lot of friends over the years, and the ones that stick for me are the ones that don't care if we're doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, I've had people over the years where it's like, oh, let's do this. And then once you run out of things to do, it just kind of dissolves. Because it's like, well, what are we doing? I don't know. And then it's just like, you know, it's over. Because there's no excuses anymore.
Yeah.
But the ones that really stick are the ones that are just like, yeah, I don't care. Come over to my house and just hang out on my couch. And, you know, whatever the fuck. It doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah.
But... I don't know what's stuff out there.
That feeling like, I can't stand to be around you unless there's volleyball distracting me. Yeah.
But I think
weird stuff.
You make a good point, because in the past, people had more better excuses for like hosting things at their house. And yeah. we don't really have that anymore. Now you've got two different, like the extremes have broadened, right? You've got we're going on a hiking trip, right? That's extreme one. You know, we're doing something active together. And the extreme number two, the other side is we're at my house hanging out, and usually you have to do at least like board games or something, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like either the house party or board games. And those are the two extremes. There's nothing really in the middle anymore. You know, it's either one of those two things. But back in the day...
Or drugs.
Yeah. Back in the day, you could be like, oh, look at my pool, or look at my, I don't know what example you gave, video game. You know, there's all these things that you could put in your house and would attract people to come.
Also, in between hanging out, let's just say 1969, in between seeing each other then, they weren't in your pocket constantly.
No, you couldn't talk to them all the
time. So if you wanted to do your engaging with Susie Q, I mean...
you had to invite her over to listen to... Blonde on Blonde or whatever, you know?
That's the only way you can hear her talk about whatever's going on with Jimmy B.
Yeah, what's going on in her life, you know? You know, so, like, hang out by your fireplace or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I look at pictures of houses from the 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I get, like, jealous of the features they have. Because they have all these, like, elaborate hosting kind of things. You know, it's like, oh, and here's where there's the fire pit, and there's, like, a giant couch that rotates around it, and there's, like, a bar over here. It's like, yes, you can get that now, but, like, people will think you're, A, really weird, or, B, really rich, you know, to do something like that. But that was, like, pretty common, you know, because, you know, you would go, the only thing you could do back then, like you said, is... You know,
or like a library. Imagine having a library now, and you had people over. They'd be like, "What are you, a serial killer?"
Like, I know, what the like fuck weird. Are all these books but I want doing a, here? Like, how cool would it be to have a library? Yeah. Like, I want one, but it is weird. It's so weird. Like back then, it was like either you're hanging out at someone's house or you're at a bar. Those are your options. So it's like, all right, we'll do one of those. Now it's like, oh, you can go axe throwing, and you can go, you know, all these stupid millennial things that we have.
No. All right, trivia number two time.
Trivia number two. I'm sorry, I'm ranting again.
It's okay.
Yeah, trivia number two. Let's go.
This is a medical question.
Okay. Monty Hall.
Okay. Question is, what's the common term for a cerebrovascular accident? Is it A, a heart attack? Is it B, a stroke? Is it C, a brain tumor? Or is it D, an erection?
So, I think it's a stroke or a brain tumor. Because cerebro means brain.
Mm-hmm.
Cerebrovascular, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I feel like it's stroke because that has to do with blood flow to the heart. And vascular, I think, is blood. But I'm going to Monty Hall it and I'm going to lock an erection.
It is either a stroke or it's an erection.
Erection is blood flow to the penis, so, you know.
But you do have to use your cerebrum a little bit.
You do have to use. You have to. Your cerebrum has to be on in order to get one of those. I'm gonna go with stroke. Final answer.
You're correct.
Yes, I'm doing well this time. I feel like.
Yeah, two for two.
Do we want to transition to some listener questions today?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have four today. Did you know that? Four whole questions. Wait, do we have four? No, we have three. Whatever. It's still a lot. Question number one comes to us from Spitfire. I don't remember the numbers at the end of his handle. But thank you, Spitfire, one of our best listeners. He asks, if an intelligent alien race unveiled itself, would a new alien religion be part of mass adoption? If so, have we already experienced it? Yet portrayed those individuals as humans with superpowers? Question, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. So it's kind of an Ancient Aliens question, sort of. But have you ever read the book Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke?
No.
Okay, it has a similar plot. It's like aliens come down and they're like, we know what we're doing. And people are like, okay. And then they're like, worship us or whatever. And then people do because they're so much smarter than us. Do you think that would happen? That's a thing that is reasonable to assume could happen with aliens.
I think it sounds really cool, but are we talking about like the real world?
Yeah, the real,
like,
the
could,
real world.
Could that
aliens,
really happen?
If super smart aliens came down tomorrow and were like, "We are smarter than you. Worship us, and everything will we will give you everything you want," or whatever. What do you think would happen?
It would be horrible. I would really like it, but
I can imagine one of two scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that the scenarios are happening at the same time. I imagine, A, some religious people will interpret this as, like, religious event, and they're like, yes, worship these aliens.
Do you mean people who are already religious would take it as prophecy, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they would be like, yes, this is good. And then the other end of the spectrum is two groups. A group that is religious and finds this blasphemous, and they would revolt against it. And then the other group is the group I'd be in that was just like, this is bullshit, man, and revolt against it anyway. So you'd probably have, like, some kind of Civil War deal going on, in my opinion, you know, where mankind is fighting each other.
This is a really cool thing. I think about this kind of stuff all the time, because you have to think about the aliens' motives in trying to get us to worship them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it vanity? Is it some kind of experiment? Is it maybe they survive on psychic worship power or something?
Maybe they do. Maybe that's the kind of energy that they have. I don't know. It's weird, though. I think we would have a situation where half the people would be like, sure, and the other half would be like, bah, and they'd fight, you know?
Yeah. And here's the problem. If half of us did the bar fight, we all die.
Oh, I know. So that's the thing.
There would be, you know, there would be a minority of rational people that are like, okay, we need to be very careful with this. We need to approach this strategically and logically.
Too few people. Because if one person starts fighting, then everything goes good. It's like nukes, right? It's like if one person launches a nuke, everyone's launching a nuke, and then we're all dead. So if, like, one stupid person, you know, with maybe 100 other people or something, starts to revolt, then you got to have people that are quelling the revolt, which leads to more violence on both sides, which leads to violence escalating until we just blow each other up, you know?
Yeah.
And then the aliens are like, this isn't worth it, and then they leave. And then we just keep fighting because we're humans, you know?
And that's a new whole belief system. Like, okay, so the aliens came. Few people just totally screwed it up for everybody. As a result, the whole world is fighting the aliens. I almost called them angels. The aliens left, and they're like, screw this.
It's too hard.
Like, half the people in the whole world die, and now we're living in the ashes of the previous, you know, superior civilization.
Yeah. I could see it. Yep. Totally could happen.
And here's the thing. All right. So the really smart people that opposed it to begin with, some of them would survive, though.
Yeah.
And they would become the Illuminati that took over the New World.
Yeah, they're like pulling the strings now.
Yeah.
Right.
They would steal all the wealth and all their relatives. All their relatives would inherit all their wealth throughout history.
And they would, like, steal some, like, the technology and, like, the teaching, like, the our knowledge and stuff.
Yeah.
To, like, hoard it. You know, because we'd probably lose a lot of knowledge and technology in this big war. So they, like, hoard it, and they're like, oh, now I have control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I don't know. It's wild. I could see this happening. This is plausible. I mean, not really. But, no, I mean, if aliens came down and they were, like, worship us, I could see us really fucking everything up. For sure.
Yeah. It'd be really bad. Now, as far as has this happened before in history, like, is maybe 2,000 years ago?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
But maybe.
And I think... No, I don't think it's maybe, because I think there are enough people looking very hard for stuff like this that someone would have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would see some type of, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but, like, radiation from where they landed.
Or you have to really dig deep for this conspiracy. Like, it doesn't really work. This is the second time we brought up conspiracy theories on this episode, and I just have a question to you that I just thought of. This is interesting. So, conspiracy theories, we know them, we love them, they're all over the place, blah, 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 blah. What is the most recent conspiracy theory? Like, is there a new conspiracy theory out there? that you can think of?
They're all really bad. None of them I want to talk about on this show.
Well, okay, that might be true, but yeah. My point is the ones that I know of that are, like, popular are all really old. And the point I'm making here is I think it's really hard to have a new conspiracy theory, like, come around in this day and age with the internet. You know what I mean? Because you can disprove it almost immediately. And it needs to reach some kind of critical mass before it, like, takes off. And it just can't do that now because it's so hard to get it. So it's, like, a lot easier for an old conspiracy theory that already has people involved in it, like, to you know, spin up even more now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Flat Earth is a good example.
You would think that, but... Oh, no, like, conspiracy theories like Flat Earth or Ancient Aliens or, you know, those kind of things. I meant stuff like political conspiracy theories are really, really popular now.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you would think that people could just go online and educate themselves, but they don't.
They don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. let's get into a couple of the listener questions.
Okay.
We have two more. These two come from Smellborp. Thank you, Smellborp. Question number one. She asks, can anything be a seat as long as you call it a seat? Mm-hmm. That's kind of philosophical.
That is a philosophical question.
But, like, if you use it as a seat, is it a seat?
Yes, I sit here, therefore it's a
therefore
seat.
It's a seat. I seat, therefore I seat. I sit, therefore it's seat. Like, if I sat on a stump, tree stump, is it a seat? It's a seat? Okay, how far can we take this, though? Right? If I sit on, like, I have a computer tower over here, and it's just chilling, and I could totally sit on it if I wanted to. If I sit on that, is that a seat?
It is your seat. It's
it is not a seat, but it is my seat.
Yes.
we're getting in some really, like, heated stuff here.
That's some deep water right there.
It's not a seat, but it is yours. So if I go outside and I sit on the ground, is that a seat?
No, that's not your seat anymore, because, you see, we all have domain over the ground.
So if it's not upright, it's not a seat. Is that the qualifier?
Well, you can't sit on the Washington Monument and be like, this is my seat.
I could, though.
You could, but it's not your seat.
Why not?
Because I said so.
Well, you're not making any sense here. Okay, what if I go outside and my driveway, right? I put a very small, That's so stupid. I put a book on the driveway, right?
Right.
And then I sit on the book. It's like a textbook. Is that a seat?
That is your seat for the moment, yeah.
Because it's raised?
Because your ass is on it.
But my ass could go on the driveway, but you said it wasn't a seat.
Your driveway could be your seat.
Oh, okay.
Because you own your driveway.
So the ground is not my seat.
The ground outside your house, maybe, yeah. If you own the property.
If I go to a park and I sit, if you own the property, it's your seat.
Yeah.
Well, I could go to, like, a Quiznos, sit on a chair, and that's my seat, even though I don't own it, right? I don't know why I picked Quiznos, but, I mean, there you go.
The seats at Quiznos are not your seats, because the manager can be like, listen, you need to get out of that seat right now.
But they are a seat. But they are a seat, right?
They are a seat.
So what if I went into Quiznos with my textbook? I put the textbook on the ground and I sit on it. Is that my seat?
We should test this theory. Okay. You can get your book and we can go to a Quiznos and you'll sit on your book.
It has to be a Quiznos. Yeah. It's very important.
And then you just need to start cursing, like, really loud. And the manager will come, and he'll say, excuse me, you need to get out of that seat, and you need to leave. And you'll be like, but I have this book.
It's my seat. So you think that's my seat, though, because it's a book. Because it's my book, right?
But the book is touching the Quiznos seat, so I think...
What if I put the book on the floor, though, and then sit on that?
Mm. This is tough, because I think the book is your seat, though, not the floor.
Right. It's a really tall book that lets me sit, like, pretty high up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that a seat?
Yes. Yeah.
It's my seat in the Quiznos.
I think I'm distinguishing too much whether it's your seat or a seat.
Yeah, I don't think the mine matters as much. I'm just concerned if it is a seat.
It is a seat.
That's the question. Can anything be a seat as long as you call it a seat, right?
I think it has to be comfortable. I think that might be the only
rule. That's the qualifier? No. I've sat on plenty of uncomfortable seats. If that's the qualifier, then, like, nothing is a seat. There's, like, two seats in the whole world that qualify as a seat.
I can add an additional qualifier. It's either comfortable or someone else labeled it as a seat.
So those are the two. So comfortable or someone labeled it as a seat. So someone else called it a seat. Yeah. I can't call it a seat and make it a seat. But someone else can, and then it's a seat. So if now, two people agree that it's a seat, then it's a seat. This is what you're saying. Like, if I and someone else agree it's a seat, it's a seat.
Right. There has to be at least two. I was going to say, you could call something else a seat, and it would make it a seat for someone else. And they can call it a seat for you, and it'll make it a seat for you.
Then we have this infinite seat chain, right? Because I could call anything a seat. And then that's a seat. And then they can call someone else a seat. That's a seat. And then the next person calls the next thing a seat is a seat. And now we have all these seats that aren't actually seats because everyone's calling them seats.
Well, we don't have to call everything a seat. That's our choice.
What if,
and we have free will.
Addendum.
Okay.
Comfortable, someone calls it a seat, and someone is sitting on it or has sat on it.
And or. How about that?
Okay.
Because it's, I mean, you said you've sat on uncomfortable places.
Sure. Okay. So it's, wait, where's the logical, where are the parentheses in this logic thing? Comfortable, parenthesis, close parenthesis, and?
/ or.
And or.
Someone has sat on it.
Someone has sat on it, and someone called it a seat. Right?
Yeah.
So is that all, like, inside that block? Does that make sense?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
So someone called it a seat and someone has sat on it before. Close parentheses. And or is comfortable.
Yes. That makes the most sense.
That's where we're going with. That is the final answer of what is a seat on the Time Bet Show. I have to tell you about my seat right now. My pants are really sticking to the seat. Like, this is an uncomfortable seat.
You have a sticky seat? Did you spill something on it?
No, it's just sticky. It's because it's hot in this room. It's made of wood. And I'm wearing shorts that aren't my favorites. You know, I'm bringing everything together right now. I'm bringing the whole show into one thing. I'm wearing my not favorite shorts. I'm sitting on a chair made of wood. And it's just, you know, it's sweaty and it's sticky. You know, I'm like sticking to the seat.
Yeah, all you need is a white claw.
and then the metaphor will be complete. All right, last listener question. This one's so dumb. This is like straight from Reddit. It's not, but it's kind of one. This is another Smellboard question. Thank you very much for sending this in. If your life was a video game, what would the title be?
This is such maybe a... that's the title. Just
blah. That's your title? It has to be video gamey, though, you know?
It's like an art game.
It's an art game. Ugh. What do you do in this game? Ugh.
You
live.
It doesn't matter.
You hit A really fast. This is my game. I just thought of it. This is the metaphor. The game starts. You wake up. It's first person. So like your eyes open in like that weird like have you ever seen a movie where like they show the eyes opening? But, like, through the perspective of the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, it's like you're blinking and you're like, whoa, that's the beginning of the video game. And you're like, oh. And you get up and then you start walking and you can't really see anything. And then you go to work. And then the whole game is just you watching what you're doing. You have no control over it. But you just have to hit A all the time. You just have to keep hitting A. Like, it's like a QuickTime event. You know, you just keep hitting the button.
Okay.
And then you go back to bed, and then you wait real time 8 hours in total darkness, and then you just do it again. And that's the whole game. And it's called Life.
So I want to... Let's go more into specifics on the gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's a complete auto-scroller. There's you have no control over
there's
anything.
There's absolutely no gameplay. You're just hitting A all the time.
Maybe but occasionally there are tests to see if you're paying attention.
Yes.
and you can fail.
Like, there's sometimes where you shouldn't hit A, but it's like really hard to tell when you're not supposed to hit A, and yeah. You fail most of the time. Like, it's like it's a really short window. And that's the game. Like, someone says something to you, and you're like, I think I need to hit A. But then it's like, don't hit A, but it's really fast. And then you're like, shit, I hit A. And then it's like, oh, you lose some points for that one, you know. Yeah. And then you try the next day to hopefully not hit A at the proper moments. But it's like the day lasts 8 hours long, right? And you're only not hitting A, like, there's only, like, 3 instances throughout the day. But, like, you really you have to pay
attention. You gotta be ready.
You gotta be ready to not hit A. And that's my game. It's called... I don't know. Life is too on the nose, right? It would be called, like... I don't know what it'd be called. It'd be called Ugg. That's it.
Ugg. Yeah, Ugg. Ugg is good. I like this. That's a really good, you know, metaphor, because... On the one hand, you're not in control of anything.
No.
Like, all you can do is make things worse. Like, you can't actually... I mean, I guess you can maintain the status quo. But if you fail, so the one stupid QuickTime event, it's like... Nope.
It's like ruined. And like the whole game is like you're slowly progressing throughout your life. Like you're hitting milestones, but you have no control over like which milestones are just come. And the more you fail the quick time events, the longer it takes you to reach them. You know what I mean?
Jesus. And then at the end of the game, you die. And after that, you get transported into, like, a room, and there's a man with a million eyes. And he's like, hold still. I'm going to read you your sins. And your sins are every time you failed a QuickTime event. And you have to sit there and listen to every single time you failed. And he's like, this is going to take 10,000 years to listen to the whole thing.
I love how there's, like, this weird artsy part in the end of the game with a man with a million eyes. Like, that's the only, like, surreal part of the game. Everything else is just normal. Yeah. But see, this is good. Doesn't this work? You know, it's good. Because, like you said, you have no control, except in very specific moments. And they go by so fast that you probably screw it up. There you go. That's my video game. But we don't know the title still. I guess, I mean, I don't want to steal your title of Ugg, but I like that. I like the title.
How about you better pay attention. Attention.
Okay. There you go. That's it. We got it.
It's perfect. I love that answer.
Thank you. That was a joint. We joint answered that one. Because mine was just the quick time. You added the brilliant, part where you can't hit A. It really shakes things up a lot. It really shakes things up. And it's great. I feel like most of my life is hitting A when I shouldn't be hitting A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is depressing, but... Like, I feel like I hit A all the time. And then there are parts where I'm not supposed to, and then I do anyway. You know? I get too overexcited to hit A. Too fast. You know?
Like, you hit A once successfully, and it's like, alright, I'm doing this. Look what I just did.
Let me hit A some more.
I hit that A, and I was supposed to hit it then. And then you just keep hitting it, and it's like, no.
You're like, I got this. And they're like, oh shit, I was supposed to hit A there. Damn it. It's like that, there's like a mini game in Mario Party or something where you sound really stupid, but you like hit A really fast, right? To like build a bar. And once you get to the top of the bar, you like win. But there are times where like, if like there's like a lock on the bar, and if you hit A during those times, you like fail more, like the bar gets lower. So like you have to go really fast. Right? But then, like, if the bad thing happens and you're caught hitting A during that part, you get knocked down, like, a bunch of pegs. You know what I mean?
You fall down and get dizzy and there's stars over your head.
But, like, when you're doing it and you're hitting it really fast, you're like, oh, I got it. I'm almost at the top. And your brain tells you, like, oh, just fucking go. Just go all the way. And then, like, you're not thinking. You think you're going to make it. And then it's like, nope, don't hit A. And you're like, shit. And then you fail and you fall down. That's how I interpret this game. It's like that. Just you're playing that game all the time.
Yeah. It's nowhere near that active, though. I mean, it's like you said, you maybe get like three decisions per
eight hours. Another part of the game we need to discuss. This is an important. Sorry, I know I'm interrupting trivia, but when you're when you go to bed and you have that 8 hours of where you're the, you know, it's dark. You dream of the missed A's.
Oh, perfect.
You relive those missed A's, and you just.
I think you can let them relive the successful. Yeah, ones
you
relive too.
The successful ones, but then you relive the missed ones too. Mm-hmm. So you're like, your dreams are bittersweet. You're like, oh, I hit A there, that was good. Oh, but I hit A there, that was bad. Oh, was it a good? And then you can imagine like what would happen if you didn't hit A there. You know, and like, oh.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, like, even if you did hit A all three times correctly that time, since you messed up so many times the week before in gameplay, it's like, all you can think about is, oh, what if I had messed those up too?
Or what if I succeeded back then? I could be so much further in the game now, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what happens. All right, let's do our last trivia question.
Your last trivia question is cooking related.
Okay, I'm going to do Google.
The question is, what are the two top-selling spices in the world?
Oh, God. Okay.
Is it A, pepper and mustard? Is it B, ginger and chili powder?
No way.
Is it C, curry and cumin? Or is it D, garlic and oregano?
Feel like it's pepper and mustard. That's a very American thing of me to say, though, isn't it? It's like, America, we use pepper and mustard. But I don't know. Like, I don't see the other ones being used all the time. Like, oregano and what was the other one? Oregano and...
Garlic and oregano.
That's like Italy only. No, that's not it.
Ginger and chili powder.
I mean, I'm sure Asia uses a lot of that. But we don't use a lot of that in America. And I don't think they use a lot of that in Europe. And then...
curry and cumin.
Curry and cumin. See, I could see a lot of Asian countries using that, too. I think it's pepper and mustard. That sounds so American, though, doesn't it? It's like, it's got to be pepper and mustard. Because we get put pepper and mustard on everything. I'm going to Google, though. I have 5 seconds.
Yep.
Right? My thought is pepper and mustard, though. I'm going to, like, I'm not locking it in, but I'm like, that's my official guess. Oh my God, I'm mistyping Google. Okay, top selling spices?
Right? The two, yes.
Top selling. Okay, I'm ready.
Ready. 3, 2, 1, Google.
Two top selling spices in the world.
Bang.
Okay. There's a list of 5 here. All of them have pepper in it, so I think I'm going to go with pepper and mustard.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
You are correct.
Yes, I feel not racist right now.
And all your intuitions were correct this week.
Oh, really?
So that's a good sign.
Oh, yeah, you're right, I was, yeah. I would be sad, like, it would be really sad if I guessed pepper and mustard, and I was like, no, it was something else. And then I'd feel really racist because of, like, I'm only thinking of this in, like, my American worldview of, like, yeah, we use pepper and mustard a lot. I don't know what other countries use as their spice. Like, they probably use different things, but...
Yeah, that's exactly why I made it this way. I was like, ha, there will be, like, a little dilemma of...
Yep, and I had it. Yeah, it's true. Because, like, you don't want to think that American spices, like, American ways are the same. But, it, like, part of me was like, but I don't know what else it could be. But there's still enough, like, hesitation to be like, well, maybe I'm just being a stupid American person, you know?
Like, maybe I don't know everybody else in the world.
In the world. And I don't, right?
Yeah. I think about that a lot, too.
Yeah. Do you want to get into some quick Reddits before we call it a show?
Let's do it.
Okay. First Reddit is a really good one. Not really, but it's not. I mean, it's what caused you and your best friend to drift apart?
In our case, college was one.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
Because that's hard.
Do you like
also just like distance?
Yeah, distance. That's
just true. Like pure physical distance. Pure
distance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like how this was a trick question? Because I said it, and then you're like, in our case, Like I was testing you, you see.
Oh, you were like, oh no, my other best friend that you don't know about.
You see? See, this is how evil I am. This is how my brain works. But you did say in our case, so you left it open. No, but I agree. I think it's distance. I'm going to share a really awkward story with you, if that's okay. Really fast.
It's perfect.
When we were like teenagers, like we were like good friends in like 12 to 15, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
And then at like 15 or 16, we like didn't hang out as much. I don't remember why. Well, I do. I got really into some computer thing and you got really into surfing.
Yeah.
And like at the same time we like, but like, we, like, still hung out, but not as much. And it was weird. Not, like, weird, but it was, like, looking back, it was, like, weird. Like, I don't know why that happened. But, like, I remember we, like, diverged interests at one point, and then it came back. But for, like, a year, we, like, didn't really hang out a lot. Because I got into, like, a website thing. I don't remember what the fuck I was doing. I think it was, like, some internet thing. And you got into, like, surfing or something. I don't remember what it was either. But it was, like, two... Yeah. Diverging things, and then we kind of came back around later, but that was the thing that popped into my head first.
It was also, we went to different high schools, and they were very far apart, like they were like an hour and a half away from each other. There's only so much time in the day, so you know, we would each ride. Did you ride the bus when you were in high school?
No, you had to drive there.
Well, at the beginning though, when you were a freshman or whatever.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so I used to have to ride the bus an hour to school and then an hour home. And then you have, like, 2 hours to do something before you have to go to sleep and do it again.
Yeah.
I guess that prepares you for the real world some way or something.
It does. It's rough.
Yeah, we hung out less then because there's just
high school.
Too
little time. It's weird now that I think about it because we were only in school together for 1 year. Did you realize that? I think it was only 1 year.
Yeah, Landrum.
Yeah, like, we were only in school together 1 year in middle school, I think. And then after that, I went to a different school, you went to a different school. And then we still were, like, friends or whatever. But, like, I don't know how we kept that up, because personally, I know that in order for me to become friends with someone, I have to be with them, like, all the time. You know what I mean? Like, constantly, you know, in order to, like, develop a rapport, if you will, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Maybe we just hung out a lot when we were that 1 year. That's probably what it was. But anyway.
I think we hung out a lot, and like you were saying, we both take a long time to form friends, and when you switch schools, everybody's new, so it's like, okay, I can either hang out with these new people that are terrible.
Hang out with this guy that I already know.
Or I can hang out with this, you know, cool guy that I get along with.
Yeah, and your house was pretty close. I think that was the other thing.
It's we lived right next to each other.
5-minute drive. Yeah. It's fine. Piece of cake. That's probably what it was. Yeah. I didn't like my high school. That's another topic for another show, though.
I never want to talk about that topic ever.
There you go. Let's never talk about it. Like, I didn't have a lot of friends in high school. I really didn't. And I mean, I know why I didn't. Because I was awkward and weird and stupid. But, I don't know. It is what it is. All right. You've just found out how many minutes we have left. Like a few. This is another dumb video game question. You just found out you've been living life on expert mode. You changed the setting to easy mode. What's different?
No more taxes. That's like the stupid answer, right?
That's the stupid answer, yeah.
No, that's too literal of an interpretation.
So
maybe it's like...
Oh, go ahead.
I actually didn't have anything ready.
I'm going to go back to our hit A game analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Expert mode is you hit A all the time, and there's like three circumstances when you can't during the day, and you just have to be ready for it. Easy mode is like, there's one of those like a week or something. You know what I mean? You can brute force through, you know, through it. You just hit A all the time.
Yeah.
And if you miss it, if you miss the one where you have to not hit it, like, it's not even that big. It's like, whatever. You move back, like, a day, you know? It's not a big deal.
Here's an idea. On easy mode, you have clairvoyance. You can see when the events are coming up.
You know when they're happening. So you're, like, you're ready. That's it. You're ready to not hit A.
Yeah.
You're prepared. Expert mode, you have no idea when you have to not hit A. You're like, I don't know. sometime.
And it shows you the storyboard decision tree where it's like, okay, if I'm rude to Emily here, then I can go on these paths. But if I'm nice to her, I can go on these paths. And you can kind of see up the ways a little bit.
Did you just pull that name from out of the blue?
Yeah, I did. I've never known anyone named Emily.
Just curious. Yeah, so you like see the branching trees. You're not really making a decision with the hit A game, though. You're just hitting A or not hitting A. I guess that's a decision, though, kind of, right?
Yeah, it is.
But that's funny. Yeah, so there you go. That's a bad one. Oh, here's a good one. Introverts of Reddit. What's something extroverts do that drive you crazy? I have so many things I could talk about with this one. How much time do we have left? Only like 3 minutes.
Honestly, nothing really drives me crazy about what extroverts do. Because I'm really good at just telling people, sorry, I can't engage with anything right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really secure in being an introvert and letting other people know that I am what my limits are.
Yeah, I am too. I think the only... Maybe I don't have many. The only thing that annoys me is when someone doesn't know when to stop talking. And then I'm like, oh, I need to leave this conversation now. Like, people that aren't picking up on the clue. And that's not really an extrovert thing, but it's more common in extroverts, if you will. You know what I mean? Some people have more, awareness of the other person being engaged in the conversation than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's not really an extrovert thing. Like, that's something that bugs the shit out of me, too, is when people are not considerate of other people around them.
We talked about this on the show, too. I'm so considerate that every time I'm talking to someone, I'm like, they don't want to talk to me anymore. I need to leave. You know what I mean? Like, I preemptively end things because I think the other person is done with me talking to them. That's how self-conscious... That's how, like, conscious I am of it. Like, to a bad degree, you know? It's weird.
Yeah, me too.
It's bad, though, because sometimes if someone really wants to talk to you and you're talking to them, then you're like, oh, we can keep talking, it's fine. But then you, like, make an excuse, like, oh, your brain tells you, like, oh, no, they're done. They're done. And you're like, all right, I'm going to leave. But, you know, I don't know, these things happen. It's weird. But
I do that a lot, especially with strangers. I'm just like, okay, need to shut this down because...
Yeah, we're shut down. But, like, it's hard to tell. I can't pick up on those cues, so I just assume that people are, you know, not wanting to, like, they're done with me. Because I know when it happens to me, I'm like, oh my God, I want to leave this conversation. So, like, I'm putting them in my shoes and I'm like, all right, I'm going to cut this off before they get really annoyed at what I'm saying, you know. But,
yeah.
Some people just have a very keen sense of, you know, if the other person is having a good time talking to you about the Yankees or whatever the hell it is. Okay, one more and then we're done. Earth's government decided to cut the population in half. Everyone has 30 seconds to justify why he or she deserves to live. We have 30 seconds left on this episode. What do you say to tell Earth to not kill you? Earth's government. Global government.
30 seconds. I would say just take me off. Doesn't matter.
Who's our sponsor today, Bat Stack?
Our sponsor today is... Dollar Skyline Loans.
Oh, when you're in the mood for a loan and you want some...
When you're in the mood for a loan
and you want something with a snappy name, choose Dollar Skyline Loans. Remember, when you're feeling down...
Stay away from...
Clowns.
Brown.
Or brown. Good night, everyone. Drive safely. Bye.